We'll turn your Bibles again to Colossians in the second chapter, and we want to continue our line of thought as we were looking at Paul's love for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were talking about five things contained in these seven scriptures that he touched upon that he desired for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing was that he desired them to be strong in heart, that is, that they would be encouraged. And so we talked about that a little while. Last week we talked about being united in love, the importance of unity among the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we'll talk about being settled in understanding, very important aspect of church membership and being in the body of Christ, is having a commonality among the people of God according to the Word of God. And fourthly, walking in Christ, that is our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, doing His commandments, bringing honor and glory to the Father, and in doing that, overflowing with gratitude, having a thankful heart. We were talking about that. Brother Jack and some others were out there, and we were talking about these layoffs, and some of the guys were complaining at work and about having to work this Saturday. But they were off Monday. I said, well, you know, just the weekend just got shifted. You're just not getting overtime, but you're all getting 40 hours. So, you know, we're to do all things without murmuring and complaining, is what the Lord says, and be thankful for what He has given us. And so these are lessons that, as we look at that, we find that we know, as we've studied the Word of God, but we need to relearn all the time. We're continually growing and embracing these things and trying to understand the magnitude of worshiping the God that we serve, the sovereign God of the Bible. And so let me reread the seven verses here in the second chapter of Colossians. We want to point out again that we'll be talking about settled in our understanding and begin preaching from that respect. Paul addressing the church at Colossae, warning them against false Christ or false philosophers, false prophets. He says, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And I'll read verse 6 and 7 too. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So he says an awful lot in that greeting. You see where he's edifying the body of Christ. He's building them up and at the same time warning them and giving them warnings. And that's the way it is with good preaching, isn't it? We build the body up. We point out the things that God has blessed us to do, but we're always aware constantly that there are dangers coming into the church, dangers of false doctrines, dangers of sin in our lives, dangers everywhere of Satan setting his traps. You know, we talk about that a lot, where he says that he has set carefully devised traps for you and I. He knows he can't have our souls once we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but he will do all that he can to rob the joys of our salvation. He has traps that would keep us spinning, bringing back old sins that we've been forgiven in Christ because grace is sufficient, but he'll get that thought process to going in that and just beat us up with those kind of things. So this is what Paul is talking about when he's talking about educating the church or the things that he desires the church to have. And that's encouragement, unity, fellowship with Christ, gratitude, and today we're talking about being settled in our understanding. What's the best way to have blessed assurance? We sing the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We can't have that foretaste of glory divine unless we have blessed assurance. We cannot have blessed assurance unless we're settled in our understanding of the Word of God. Amen. So you see, it all has to go together. We constantly, and you can ask the young men, they're constantly talking about how important it is to read and study the Word of God. Now, my prayer this morning for them is that God would, at a very young age, press on them the importance of the Word of God. How constant it is, how eternal it is, how much of a foundation it is to their very lives as they grow older and older. Something that it's not optional, but something that they need so desperately to understand, and that's the Word of God. As they do that, their lives will be enriched. They'll understand the ways of God at a tender age, and it will be nothing but a great blessing to them as they grow older in grace. So, settled in understanding, I'll reread the second through the fifth verse in a different version. I believe it's the American Standardized Version. There's so many, I can't keep up with all of them. But it says it a little bit different, and I like to do that every now and then, just kind of bring that out there for you. It says, and, where it talks about being knit together in love, he continues, it says, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith. So in one way, he's warning them against being deceived. In another way, he's rejoicing that they're firm and established. Said, you have a stable faith, your stability, and your good discipline. What does it take to be established in faith? It takes discipline. There's nothing in your life that's worth doing that doesn't require some amount of discipline. And the greater discipline you have, then the greater accomplishment will be made, or the greater strides will be made in that which you desire to accomplish. You just can't get away from it. As a matter of fact, all of what God would have us to do is jointly together. It's connected together. And it's for a purpose. So we talked about that blessed assurance. To have that, we must be settled in our understanding. I might have mentioned it last week where I believe it's in Ephesians where it says you're not to be tossed to and fro like little children with every wind of doctrine. We're not to be tossed. Believers are not to be tossed. They're supposed to be diligent in seeking out the will of God. Now, how can you know the will of God? People always ask the question, how can you know the will of God for you? Right there. Yeah. Right there. It'll tell you. It'll tell me the will of God, it'll tell you the will of God for you. And it'll tell you the principles that it takes to know what it takes to glorify God and how we're to live our lives. And in that process, it's not just enough to read about it, but we begin implementing those spiritual principles, and that's when that full assurance comes. That's when we're settled in our understanding that God is who He says He is. We begin to see more about Him in the Word of God. This verse of Scripture begins connecting with this verse of Scripture where it didn't before because we lacked understanding. We become settled in that. Yes. We become settled in that. Doesn't mean that we're satisfied, that we have all the answers, but we're settled in the truth that God has given us. Someone said an amazing thing to me one time. It might not have been too amazing to them, but it was amazing to me. He said, Brother Joey, I'm going to tell you something about the Christian life. You're going to, at times, want to walk in somebody else's light. You're going to read some of these, after some of these authors, and they're going to say some wonderful magnificent thing. You're going to say, I wish I'd have said that. I wish I understood that. You're going to try to walk in their light. He said, you can't do it. You have to walk in the light that the Holy Spirit of God has shown you. It doesn't mean that one day you might not walk in those same truths, if indeed that's the truth. And I've read some of it, it sounded real good, and found out later it was a bunch of hogwash. It wasn't right. But what he's talking about, he said, Brother Joey, be patient and wait on the Lord. And part of that being patient and waiting on the Lord is the truth that he has given you. Walk in it, mature in it, and continue pressing on. And as we do that, what's going to happen? We're going to gain more knowledge. We're going to gain more truth, more wisdom, more understanding. We're going to become more settled. Our doubts about our salvation that crop up from time to time will be few and far between instead of every day, it seems like sometimes. You see, that's the purpose of this. He's wanting them to be settled. Why? Because there's false teachers out there. And they speak these soothing words. And it sounds so good. I've heard preachers on the radio sounding so good, and they'd get right down to the last part of something and untie everything it seemed like that they had to say. And it was based on a different perspective. The words sounded just so good, and all of a sudden, they do away with the grace of God. And man comes in, and man's responsibility overrides a sovereign God's responsibility. And that's inconsistent with the Word of God. We can't hang our hat on that. God's in control. God has ordained the circumstances. When we begin understanding that, we really become settled in our understanding. Yeah. If we don't understand some more parts of it. Yeah. If we have that, and we've seen in the Word of God where that is so, and that is so, all you have to do is get your nose in the book and read it. And you'll see that God is a God of purpose, and He ordains all things. Now, that doesn't mean I have a complete understanding about that. Doesn't mean I don't stand in awe about that. Doesn't mean I don't stand back and just wonder, wow, you know, you just stand in amazement. But my understanding is settled because I can rest in full assurance that God is in control no matter how out of control life looks. And I'm going to tell you, I know about you too. I was going to say I don't know about you, but I do. I know you're just like me. You get some assurance from that. You get some peace from that. There's a rest that comes with that. And there again, it goes back to the Word of God. And so Paul desires that the Colossians experience all the wealth that comes from full assurance. He desires that believers, not only here, but everywhere, have this thing called full assurance. Not just a get-by kind of faith. Not just a hang on, maybe I'll make it by my nails, you know, this, not that kind of mindset at all. Paul, remember, understands that of overcoming. Paul has been through quite a bit, so his understanding has become rock solid because of the trials and the tribulations that he's come through. But he's remained steadfast and true to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God his Father. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's remained steadfast in that. And he knows the end result of having full assurance of what a blessingness it is when difficult circumstances arise. And I'll even go far to say it's when joyful circumstances arise. You know what we have a tendency to do when we were blessed beyond measure? We have a tendency to forget about God. We forget from whence all those blessings come from. But let us drop off a little bit below the border there. And we'll remember right quick where they come from. We get our minds set back right. And so we need this. And that's one of the things that I guess I'm trying to drive home in having your understanding settled is that you're going to be on a straight plane all the time, no matter whether it's up and down all the time. If you have a settlement in your understanding, if you have that full assurance, your world's not going to be rocked as much as when you don't have that blessed assurance.
Amen. Amen.
When you can really know that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, without a doubt, then that's a great, blessed place to be. Matters not what your circumstances are, because they began to fade. Because those are things of the earth. And we began recalling scriptures that we're just here for a little while. James says life's but a vapor. We're just passing through. As the old men said, old preachers, this low ground of sin and sorrow. But it's going to pass away shortly. Now, we're not going to live. If we live to be 150 years old, that's nothing. Now, when he says all the nations are but a drop in the bucket, what's a lifespan of 150 years? That's nothing in comparison to that. But there will be suffering in that. But also, Paul would remind us that our suffering is but a short while, but a little thing compared to the glory that's to come. When we're settled in our understanding, those realities mold and shape our lives. And when our lives are shaped that way, we have a constant looking for the Lord of glory. We are constantly hopeful. We're constantly joyful. Doesn't mean that we won't have our moments, but I'm talking about overall that blessed assurance will sustain us because it's placed in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and what He said and what He did, and we know that it is true. Now, Jesus said everything in Him was amen and amen. That is, everything was true. Everything that Christ came to do, He did it perfectly. He did it to the honor and glory of God. And He fulfilled the will of God in every aspect that God sent Him to do that. When we began reading those Scriptures and understanding that, and we began to understand that we are part of what He did because our inheritance is in Him and through Him, and He says, it's undefiled and it does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. What does that do for our assurance? It makes it fuller. It strengthens my faith. You remember that Jesus on one occasion was talking to Peter and He told him something that would have rocked our world pretty good. He said, Peter, got something to tell you. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. That's not something you want to hear. You know, that's really not something on the air, but as soon as He said that, fear not, for I have prayed for you. Amen. And when you come through that, when you're strengthened, He said, when you're converted, that's what He says, then strengthen the brethren. What else is He saying? We could say it another way. When your understanding has become firmer, when that blessed assurance has become more lively than it ever has been in your life, share that with others. Strengthen the brethren. Tell them of the things you've been through. Tell them what great deliverances God has for you in your life. And that gives us blessed assurance too. I love to hear a lot of times, well, every time we close the services, I always like to give opportunity for testimony. Very edifying for the body of Christ. I believe it glorifies God. It gives opportunity to tell what wondrous things God has been doing for you. And many times you'll say something that God has done without a thought of maybe others have been going through it, and it sets them free. And you see, it all works together. It goes back to that unity we talked about last week. It talks about that encouragement we talked about the week before. We're encouraged, we're unified together because, you know what? That same God that's dealing with so-and-so is dealing with me. I didn't know He'd do that for anybody else, you know. I thought I was the only one. Now, Satan tries to do that. You know, he tries to separate. That's his deal, separation. He wants us to be ununified. He wants us to be separated out on an island somewhere. But God has called us to be a body of believers, living together, a living vital organism together, joints and ligaments firmly planted together as God has sewn them together, as it were, placed them in the body, Christ being our head and we being the body of Christ. We all have a need for one another. We cannot do without the foot or the hand. We all are in here as the whole body of Christ, and particularly a body of believers such as ourselves, the individual body of Christ, here, we've been placed together to love one another, to be unified, to encourage one another.
Amen.
And so we do that as God would bless us to do. And as you come to hear the preaching of the Word, you desire, whether you're consciously aware of it or not, but to be settled in your understanding. You want to hear the truth of God's Word. No matter how rough it gets sometimes. Sometimes it's scathing. Sometimes there's a severe rebuke against you. And you need that sometimes. Other times it's an encouragement. Other times you need to be comforted. Whatever it is, God is such an amazing God that He brings it right down to you. And gives you a personal message that there's no way I could just personally minister to every one of you in this hour, hour and a half that we preach and know your thoughts and the intents of your hearts, but we know one that does that.
Amen.
And that's God, and He uses His Word to do it, and it's the most amazing thing. It's the most amazing thing. We cannot do without the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why He commands us to not to forsake ourselves from the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We must have the preaching of God's Word. We must have it. We can pray by ourselves. We can study by ourselves. We can read by ourselves. We can have small study groups together. But I tell you what, there's only one way you're going to get the preaching of the gospel, and that's to come to His house. And God commands us to do that. And when we absent ourselves from that, and we don't have that enough, we begin to find our assurance withering away. We don't have as much confidence in God and in His Word as we ought to have, because we're not getting fed with that manna from on high. And so God, as Paul is speaking to them, is telling them that there's five things I want you to know. I want you encouraged. I want you unified. And I want you settled in your understanding. Now, being settled in our understanding is not just enough to hear the Word of God. James says you must not just be a hearer, but a what? Doer of the Word of God. Wonderful passage of Scripture there in James when it says you'd be not just a hearer, but a doer of the Word of God, and the Word becomes a work. I always thought that was fascinating, that D changes to a K. But the only way that does that, we have to hear it. And then we look at ourselves in the mirror, as it were, part of 2 Corinthians, 13:5. Examine yourselves, see whether you're in the faith. I look at that. That examining process ought to go on every day in your life. Every day in your life, we're looking to see what doesn't look like the Lord Jesus Christ. We get in the Word, or we remember the message, and we confront that thing. And as I preached about hacking your sins to pieces, like Agag, you bring him out in the open, you look at it, you confess it, and you get that sword out, which is the Word of God, and you hack that thing to pieces. So you're done with it. When you do that, you become a little more settled in what? Your understanding, what the Word of God says. Feel that little bit of victory that you didn't have before. That depression that was hanging over you, that cloud kind of moves on out of the way. Why? Because you're operating in faith based on the Word of God. And that's the only thing, brethren, listen. That's the only thing that's going to bring that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine is the truth of God's Word.
Amen.
Got to have it. We're designed, when we were made new creatures, that new creatureness was designed to have the living gospel preached to them over and over and over again. It still not only has that initial life-changing, life-giving effect, but it continues to have a life-changing effect when we hear the truth of God's Word. It establishes us in the faith like nothing else. As a matter of fact, there is nothing else that will establish you in the faith more than the Word of God. There's others that have come up with substitutes, different philosophies, different cults, different things that sound good to the ear to begin with, but they won't do it. God's Word said it's sure and it's steadfast. And it will accomplish that which He purposes it to do. Part of what God purposes it to do is to convert you day by day. You know, we're not just converted one time. We're converted day by day on a daily basis. We should be growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We're pressing on to perfection. What is perfection? Am I going to be sinless? No, but I am going to be mature in the faith. I'm going to understand. My understanding is going to be settled. That's really another word for maturity, isn't it? If I have a settled understanding, I'm more mature now than I was previously to that. And so it's very important that we know these things. Turn to 2 Peter in the first chapter, 5 through 8. I'm kind of jumping all over the place. I haven't quite got into my notes, but my notes got in the way this morning, so we're just going with the Spirit. Amen. Amen. We have to watch that as preachers. If we have notes, we'll get all hung up sometimes. Okay, listen to what he says. When we're talking about this full assurance, MacArthur would say this: without that assurance, believers cannot enjoy all the blessings that are theirs in Christ. Now, we go back to Ephesians 1 where it says, we have been blessed. And we is who's we? All the elect, all that have been chosen in Christ, even before the foundation of the world, those that will be in time born again, saved. We will be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. We will become a new creature, those that are elected in Christ even before the foundation of the world. That shall take place. When we're talking about that, this is what he means. Without that assurance, believers cannot enjoy all the blessings that are theirs in Christ. The blessings of our lives that are needed for us are already in Christ Jesus. They're laid up for you and they're yours because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't need to go around desiring more. Oh, give me more, give me more, give me more. We've got all that we can get, and that's more than we'll ever use. It's more than we need. I mean, I say it another way. Will grace ever run out? Grace will never run out, nor will the blessings of God run out in your life. God loves you that much. He's already provided for you. In an ideal world, we would provide security for our children. You know, in today's economy, that's hard to do. But in a real world, parents, that's what their desire would be. I want my children to be secure, maybe secure enough to have a college education and, you know, a good job. All the things that parents would like for their children to be successful or have a life that would be pleasant or easy, whatever it might be. You know, we're not talking about something that, well, it could turn out to be a curse, but generally speaking, we want better for them. We want to provide for them. But we fall short in that a lot of times. But God has never fallen short. One of the blessings that He has for you is not going to just, because you haven't got there to embrace it yet, it's not going to just bubble up and go away. It will be there in God's timing. We talk about God ordains all things. It doesn't work out a lot of times like we perceive it. Thank God that it doesn't do that. Thank God that it doesn't work out like I've prayed sometimes in the past. Lord, do this and that and bless it. That's not the way to pray. Lord, Thy will be done. You know the best of what's going on. I want to give You all the glory. And if I need to go through this, there's a purpose in it. That there's a lot of Jesus that's not coming out that needs to come out. And you're going to ensure that this great blessing is going to provide that. So it's all about God and laying up, and He has it all taken care of. Well, with that assurance, believers cannot enjoy, or without that assurance, believers cannot enjoy all the blessings that are theirs in Christ. For example, no one can look forward with hope to the blessings of heaven who doubts whether he is going there. For that reason, Peter says, be all the more diligent to make sure that your calling and election are sure. That your calling and election are sure. How do you do that? How is that? You know, if we're doubting our salvation, we're certainly not settled in our understanding. The Bible plainly says that Christ came to save His people from their sins. Christ plainly says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. Those that come to me, I shall in no wise cast out. He says, on another occasion, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Who's stronger than the hand of Jesus? What is stronger than the hand of Jesus? No man can pluck them out of my hand. And to give us more assurance, he says, I and my Father are one. Maybe they were thinking, well, maybe God can, you're not connected. You know, some people pit the Trinity against each other, and that won't work. Yeah. It's God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and they're in unity. They have never been in disunion. They know nothing of disunion among themselves. Everything that they've done has the same purpose and accomplishes the same goals perfectly. Anytime that your theology has Jesus doing one thing, God doing another, and the Holy Spirit can't do nothing, your theology is all messed up. You've gotten into some false doctrine somewhere. The Trinity cannot deny itself. God says, I cannot deny myself. If God said, I cannot deny myself, Jesus cannot deny Himself. The Holy Spirit cannot deny Himself. And so we need to understand that in that perspective. And that goes back to that blessed assurance. We're to make our calling and election sure. How do we do that? Previously, Peter says this, 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 5 through 8. But also, for this very reason, I can't just jump into it like that. Let me go to the second verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's what I'm talking about when you're settled in your understanding what has happened. Grace and peace has been multiplied unto you. Your understanding is better. As His divine power has given to us, who's us, the recipients, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What has He given us? All things. Does God withhold anything? He said He's given us all things, what? That pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need to live a life that would bring honor and glory to God, God has given to you. And held it back. How did He do it? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. You realize God has not just given us promises. You say, I love His adjectives. Don't you love His adjectives? Exceedingly great and precious promises. These are not ordinary promises. He could have said promises, just promises. But He specifically, now remember, the Holy Spirit's penning these words through Peter, so He specifically wants us to know more about these promises even before He gets to enumerating what those promises are. And when I get into that, I get strong in heart. I'm encouraged by that. And when I see that and think about the love that He has, not only for all of His people, but for me, individually for me, I become understanding more of that unity that He has created for His people. Then I'm a part of that inheritance that's not going to fade away. That Christ shed His blood for me and saved me from a justly deserved hell and damnation forever from the presence of God. And so when I look at these verses and He says they're not just promises, they're exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You're going to grow up. You're going to mature. You're going to partake of who you are now. That's coming out. It's like unwrapping a gift that something's in there, but you don't know what it is. When you start unwrapping it, it starts coming out. It starts revealing itself. You pull back a layer, maybe there's some tissue in there. And some of y'all are like me. When I give a gift, I make folks work for it. I'll put tape on tape, a box, and you know. But they get excited getting into it. And when you get into it, these great and precious things are in there. Something surprising is in there. And that's a weak example to what God has done for us, for you and I. Because we have things that pertain to life and godliness that's not going to go away. And therefore those purposes that you might be partakers of the divine nature, and listen to this, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've been delivered from that. Now, part about what we're talking about when we go back here is being settled in our understanding. You read that and meditate upon that and see if that doesn't help your perspective in understanding who you are. One of the greatest ways for us to understand that we're settled in our understanding is to know who we are in Christ Jesus. To study as much as we can about the word grace and understand the far-reaching effects of the grace of God. We begin to understand it. We say it an awful lot, but we fail to understand it in its completeness a lot of times. Because we'll get on this work ethic where we'll get guilty. Well, oh, I didn't do this. And, well, I'm just afraid to approach you now. And you know what God said? When you fail, you know what you do? You confess your faults. And you know what Jesus does? He said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you all your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the end of it. Our feelings want to continue on. But God said, that's the end of it. Faith says that's the end of it. Now you go on and live your life. Go on and live your life. We learn from that. But we're not to overly beat ourselves up on that. Now, that's when Satan would enter in. He'll get you in that little circle and he'll whoop you to death on that. Oh, you boy, I tell you, that's about the 10th time today you've done that sin. If I was you, I'd be ashamed to go before the Father. He doesn't want us coming confessing that. He's not going to listen to that. Said, you're not nothing. You're just going to continue to do that. There's no need in confessing it again. Lie to you. Just lies is all that is. And so, those kind of things. When we look into there, we see what God has done. He's delivered us from that death and that corruption. And that corruptibility, that is in the past and it's gone. That's our sin. And what did the Word of God say about our sin? It has gone away as far as what? The east is from the west. He's thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. It's never to return to condemn us anymore. Jesus said, I shall save my people from their sins.
Amen.
That's powerful. That settles my understanding. I get into that and believe that's the Word of God. That's God speaking. And that's what He said that He has done for me. Now, I can live like that's not happening, or I can believe the Word of God by faith and start living that way. And that's what God would have us to do. Now, some condemnation, guilt is real, and we need to address that. I'm going to tell you, a lot of it's false guilt. And we need to address that too by the Word of God. So that's not right. I confess that. God said He'd forgive me, and I'm going on from that. I'm not continuing on to that. I put that behind me by the grace of God, and I'm continuing on. I'm a child of the living God. I'm one that's been called to be a holy man of God or a holy woman of God. God calls me a saint even now. And if that's what God says I am, that's what I am.
Amen.
When we're settled in our understanding, what comes from that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. We won't spend as much time doubting our salvation. We'll be pressing on. We'll be pressing on and doing the things that bring honor and glory to God. Okay. Having escaped the corruptions in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Now, this is not passive. Add to your faith virtue. That word add, I want to get to that if I can. To virtue knowledge. To knowledge self-control. To self-control perseverance. To perseverance godliness. To godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be settled in your understanding? Implement 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And see what wondrous things begin to happen.
Amen.
See what great fellowship you began to embrace in the Lord Jesus Christ. See how quickly the world and all of its allures is shown for what it is. It's fake and not lasting. It will pass away with the using, but God's everlasting kingdom will go throughout the ages, through all eternity. And that's what he's speaking of. And these are kingdom dwellers that act like that. These are born-again children of God, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that have faith and are giving diligence to add to that faith these things. Listen to that word, add. Add to your faith. Add is to give lavishly and generously. In Greek culture, the word was used for a choir master who was responsible for supplying everything that was needed for his choir. The word never meant to equip sparingly, but to supply lavishly for a noble performance. In other words, that choir master took all of his resources and poured it into that choir so they could be equipped to give the very best performance or whatever they possibly could. He just poured himself into that. That's what that adding means, that little word add. We think it's just a little mark we had to use in 7th, 3rd grade to get started with addition and subtraction. So we see the significance of that. The word was never meant to equip sparingly, but to supply lavishly for a noble performance. God has given us faith and all the graces necessary for godliness. We add to those by our diligent devotion to personal righteousness. You see what that adding is? That's not just something that's passively talked about. We're talking about prayer this morning. Prayers are not just something you just throw up in the wind. Prayer is based on the Word of God. We're to pray according to the Word of God, according to the will of God. There's parameters for prayers to be what they're meant to be. To the design is first and foremost to the end to glorify God, and then that we might petition Him when we're going through things. And we not only pray that way, but we pray not that my will be done, that thy will be done, because we follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane. He took the bitter cup, that cup that was so representative. What did he see in there? All the sins of all that he's going to die for. That's what we see in this picture. As he's looking at it, we see him not as the Son of God, although he is the Son of God, but as the Son of Man when he utters these words, let this cup pass from me. And we're taken aback by that sometimes. I know when I was younger, I read that, I said, what? Take this cup. But in the same breath. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. What were we seeing there? We were seeing the Son of Man looking at the enormity of what he was facing. But he's a sinless Son of Man that desires to do the will of God. And we see him sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. We see his humanity. But thank God, we see obedience in that as the Son of Man, and He goes to the cross at Calvary in spite of the obstacles that were set before Him that we would even fall back from if we just had an inkling of what Christ saw.
Amen.
That kind of adding, that kind of perseverance to our faith, growing in our understanding, will cause us to be settled in our understanding. Oh, we can sing with all assurance then, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, and mean every word of it. Experience it not just in our emotions. Emotions are fine, but experience it because we're believing it by faith that every word of God is true. Every word of God is true, and it's meant for our good and God's glory, and we embrace it and walk in it, and we find out that is so very true. God bless us all to understand that, to understand the power of the Word of God and the love of God as He gave us His gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, and another gift, the Word of God, that we might have a firm understanding. God bless us in our prayer for Christ's sake. Brother Lamar, would you go?